Check it. Okay. Tiva Double D. Hey. Tiva Double D.
Hey.
Y'all on AMD. Said it's Tiva Double D. Tiva Double D. Check it.
Oh, this is weird. We never do this on video, so this will be interesting. Okay.
I'm excited.
Hey. Hey, guys. It's Demora.
With Danielle.
And welcome back to another episode of Tiva Double D, where we talk about everything love, life, and today, life after college.
Ooh, okay, spicy. So that you don't miss out on any new episodes, don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or SoundCloud.
And now YouTube.
At TW/DD.
This is insane. You've never done this.
You never done Zoom?
No.
Hi.
Sorry I'm late.
That's okay. How are you?
How are you?
I'm good.
Hey.
Yeah. I hear you said you moved. Where did you move to? And she's here with the tea.
Love it. Yes.
I was like, all right, let me get my tea. Had a little hair situation.
I love it. It's cute.
I haven't talked to you in so long.
I know. Since like your dad's boat ride, like last year, I think.
Really?
That was the last time I saw you, yeah?
Yes.
Memorial week. Weekend, I think, right? Or Labor Day. I don't remember.
Labor Day.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's clear.
How's the move going?
It's good. I'm like settled in now.
Yay.
But yeah, like it's been like a few weeks so like almost unpacked. So it's cute. I really like it. The weather is really nice. I think it's gonna thunderstorm right
now. What part of you said Texas, right?
Texas.
Mm-hmm, Dallas.
Oh, Dallas. Dallas. Whoa. What's that like? That's a really big move from the city.
Yeah, I know. It's dope. It's like, you know, with everything going on, it's just like people aren't on top of each other. So it's a lot more space to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
I still have my job, so I'm like still working from home, thankfully. So it's pretty It's where I live is pretty diverse. As Northerners, we're taught like the South is just like some crazy. No, there's mad Black people down here. I went to like a Black-owned hair store today earlier.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow.
Yeah. So it's like it kind of feels like Long Island and Queens, honestly.
Okay.
Like more land, I would say. Like houses not so much on top of each other.
That's good. Really
that sounds
cool.
Pretty dope.
And did you move into a home or apartment?
Apartment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are so nice.
I hear the apartments there are so nice. So cheap.
And compared to what I was paying in Harlem is just like ridiculous. And then, yeah, the apartments are super nice. It's like a lot of space. And then the complex has like pools and gyms.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
So it's like super sweet. Yeah.
And it's like all of that for like $900.
Are you
literally?
Yeah, it's like, so like for perspective in Harlem for a studio that's less than 300 square feet, I was paying $1,600.
There you go.
For an apartment down here that's a one bedroom with a walk-in closet, washer dryer, full kitchen, island, like with the pool, two pools, two gyms, a dog park, $1,000. And a parking
space. Oh, and we're getting gems.
This is why people move.
We're getting gems.
This is why people move.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
Did you ever think you were going to stay in New York forever or you knew this was coming?
No, I was planning to move. It was just like the where. And then at first I thought it was going to be LA, but LA is kind of like New York part two to me. And I really did want something different. So. Thanks. That's why I picked Dallas. Just make sure you can go out and like visit different parts of the states if you want to stay in the states, or go international, because like New York is they marketed it really well to us, and it's not like, you know, all of, especially like when you want to like do whatever you want to do, you can do that anywhere. New York isn't the same anymore. It's not like the only place that you can do these things.
Yeah, that is
I agree.
True.
Especially like the whole remote quarantine has given us a whole nother way of carrying out business. I think it's forced people to realize there's some things that don't need to be done in an office.
Yep.
Exactly.
That's going to change the culture a lot.
It really is. 100%. Especially in New York. Like, I don't, like, they say, like, people are not going to be going back to work until, like, years from now, probably.
Yeah.
I really want to. I keep thinking about the subway and that idea of having to be in there packed with people that are already sick, and then
my thing is, I don't even know how I was doing it before, because now, like, being in a crowded subway sounds like the worst thing in my nightmare. But before, it was just like, okay, every day, chilling.
Yeah, you normalize a lot of things, like rats and like roaches and stuff like
that. Exactly. And like dirty not behind clean subways. Like, subways. I saw that they power washed it.
They were like, the first time in 150. Meanwhile, the subway was built 150 years ago. So
you're talking since day one?
But first order of business.
Ooh.
Drinks. Now we have our lovely guest, Fabienne Boisson, but also known as Fab Rock, joining us.
Yes.
So what's in your mug?
I have a beer in here. I have a Modelo. I put a Modelo in here because I had tea earlier, and so I got something crispy.
I love it. I love Modelo.
But it's in a mug.
Which one? It, like, I know there's three different ones. There's the Especial, Negritas, or something.
I have the Negro because black.
Yeah. So. There you go.
Power. I like the
cup and too. To let y'all know, Boisson isn't my last name. Rock is my last name.
Rock is your last name. Okay, because I was seeing it written on something, and that's why I thought you kept it. Okay, Rock. So, Fabienne, Rock. I apologize.
No, it's all good.
And us, we are basic this time. It's because we ran out of our favorite tea, which is Tea Forte. And we're going to be experimenting with black-owned teas. But until then,
we got lovely Bigelow green tea. If y'all like green tea and you're looking for a good one, Bigelow is the best green tea that I've ever come across. I love them so much.
It's so basic.
It is basic, but they come in very different flavors, which is really good. Like, some green teas are, like, too much. They come with, like, all these little green leaves in it. But this one's always so smooth, and the flavors are good. They have a mango one that's delicious and a blueberry that's absolutely so
I want what she's drinking, though.
Yeah, I know.
I should have thought of
that. Hey, I had green tea earlier.
There you go.
I did a green tea kombucha situation.
Ooh. You like kombucha? So,
I don't, but the green tea kombucha is good. So you should. That's my like tea.
Okay, I'll take it. Now, of course, we have to introduce Fabienne.
Yes.
Now, would you mind telling us our guest a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so my name is Fabienne or Fab Rock or Fab, and I'm how like detailed am I? I'm like I'm 30. And
so generally,
I'm a Cancer.
We can go for it. Are you really?
Yeah, my birthday is next week.
Oh. Early birthday.
Yes.
Thank you. Oh, so I'm turning 31. So I'm out of the like 30 club. I'm like getting into the 30s.
I'm almost there.
No, yes. you're supposed to want to grow old, so it's cool.
You're right.
But yeah, so I'm from New York. I just moved to Dallas. I'm a DJ, I'm a writer producer for BET. And yeah, I just love music. I'm black, Haitian. Still got my little chain. You know, wear the dark
I love that.
And yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I think, and I'm passionate about hiring black people to tell black stories, to tell our own stories.
I appreciate that too, because I feel like I was reading this book, Americana, and one of the things that the author, she brought I think Chimamanda Ngozi, she brought to attention is that when you're growing up, all the stories you hear are either white stories or black stories told by white people. And that's like the commonality. So I like that. Is that something that you're currently producing?
So I like advocate for it within my job, but then I also started this Instagram that's going to be like bigger, but right now it's just the Instagram and like a hub for black people that work in production, and that's like behind the camera. So because like a lot of these like shows and films and productions, a lot of the crew will be white, and so a lot of details are left out. It can be anything from like the styling or like, you know, anything that's authentic to our story that you wouldn't know essentially like just based on reading a script. I think it's super important for people in production to look like what the talent is and for us not to just be the talent, you know, or the entertainers.
I agree.
So I have an Instagram called Black Production Network, and basically I'm just trying to find or like kind of bring everybody together under one hub so that like if you're someone looking for like a camera operator or like a stylist mm-hmm. or someone that is Black, you can just like go and find them through this outlet. So that's like something that I started like recently and that I've been building.
I really love that. Because I don't know if you're watching the show on Netflix, Hollywood.
Yes.
It's so amazing
because it has to do a lot with what you're talking about. It is a fabricated story about a production company that Avis Production is called.
Yeah.
And for the first time, they're putting out a movie that stars a woman of color and is written by a man of color. And produced by someone who is Asian, who as well wasn't like...
He was half Asian.
He was half Asian, fine. But it was a minority-driven film, and it was about how they were able to produce that and how successful it was and how much, you know, people took a chance on them and stuff like that. So it was a beautifully made show, and like, I love the idea of that because I was so into that Hollywood show. I was just like, wow, I didn't even realize how important it is to have Black people on the screen, even behind the screen, you know what I mean, to understand the story, you know, so
for sure
it was such a good show. So you have to
I'll probably watch it tonight.
Now today we're talking about life after college. And I thought that you would be a great person to talk about it because you've been a DJ, you write for BET, so I really want to know where you are right now, when you started college, where did you think, like, what was your mindset? What did you imagine yourself being when you went to college, like, originally?
So, like, essentially senior year of high school?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. The journey has been very like this. I wasn't one of those people that knew what they wanted to do in high school.
Yeah.
I had no idea. All I know is that like I was working since like 16, because I realized like I wasn't getting the money I wanted from my parents, like allowances and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, I need to get a job. So like I started working at like 16, and then when I went to college, I actually knew that I just wanted to be out of state because all I knew was like New York, and then I went to school in Jersey, so I wasn't you know, really like in it, in the community like that, but I knew that I wanted to see something different. So I left and I went to Virginia and I loved it, but didn't give any out of state tuition. So I came back on money and I was like, not trying to be in debt.
Yeah.
Still am. But anyways, just less amount. But yeah, I came finished. And then as I was in college, I realized like I really enjoyed planning events and I was already working in the hospitality industry. Like I was a server, I was bartending through college. And so it kind of was just like hospitality industry. Like you're in a hotel, you're either throwing events, you're just like that customer service through hospitality was like something that like I was really good at and I actually enjoyed. So, but I also liked HR somehow. So I'm like a Virgo moon. I'm like very like like I like paperwork and stuff like that, which is like super weird to some people. So I think that's why I was drawn to it.
No, I'm the same exact way.
I have to ask, this is like typically a question I ask Virgos, but do you enjoy doing laundry?
You know, I enjoy doing laundry now that I have a washer dryer. Before, when I had to like go to the laundromat and stuff, but I do enjoy like the sorting, the folding. I mean, I used to work retail.
Every Virgo I know loves laundry and dryer sheets.
Dryer sheets are you can't have too many. Like
exactly. And I'm not even a Virgo anything, but I'm just like, give me dryer sheets.
I put them in my car so that they can smell good. Like I'll leave an open box of dryer sheets in the door. And it just, it infuses. Because I don't like that sticky car smell. Like when you close your door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you use dryer sheets like you're supposed to use baking soda in the fridge.
Yes.
To your car.
You're all
you are onto
everybody's
something
winning here.
I mean, hey, I'll take
right.
But yeah, so HR, so like basically my first job out of college ended up being in HR. But then like I got super bored. Just like I like the recruiting part the best, but I just like didn't necessarily like just sitting at a desk all the time. So like I would and then I knew I wanted to work in the city. So I finally found a job in the city. And then I eventually moved to the city, and my first job was being an event coordinator at a restaurant hotel. And that's like what, so that's what like really started me in events and event planning. And then I liked it so much that I started doing people's events on the side. So like it could have been like a friend's baby shower or like my cousin's like wedding I was helping with, or like a day party. So I started throwing day parties with one. Oh, okay. So I left that job and I got a job at Essence Magazine, which I thoroughly enjoyed. Well, I shouldn't say that, but it was on my goal because I had went to Essence Fest and I was like, oh shit, this festival is super dope. Like I'd love to work with them. So definitely like put it on your agenda for when like the world opens back to back up. I think we're doing it virtually this weekend because it's always July 4th weekend also. But just going to New Orleans is an amazing experience. But I got into the event planning world. I started throwing events on the side. And I, which then led me to like being interested in DJing. So then I started taking classes.
Oh, man. Interesting.
And so like, this is like, I kind of like dominoed my way into like finding my way, but also like realizing that I really enjoyed just like creating things and not necessarily like one specific thing. So that's why I've been able to kind of just like, that was like me finding my footing. Like I've realized like that creative part and then like seeing different outlets. And I'm still kind of like dipping into like things that I like, but I went from that to like DJing and then putting myself into my own events to like practice live. And then I started DJing and I stopped doing events. And then while I was doing that, I still had like full-time jobs at like agencies, either throwing events or doing marketing or kind of transition into marketing. Cause the, you know, event marketing is like, it's all intertwined, right? So I was able to basically take the skills that I learned from managing and planning events to, production. And, I worked for an agency. They actually hired me, as their event lead, and like a reorg happened and it looked like they were going to lose the job. So instead of laying me off, they were like, you know, you'd probably be really good at being a producer. Because it's basically like the same thing, but just like more on like the creative end. So like instead of actually being the person on foot throwing the event, I'm the person like pitching to a brand like, this is an event you should throw.
Okay.
So I started doing that. Or this is like a creative spot that you should shoot. And I already had like kind of experience with that. Like just, you know, it all like blends together. It didn't have to be like so textbook, you know, cookie cutter. So then basically that's how I transitioned from throwing and planning events to doing production and like creative pitches. And then I was there doing that for some time and then they laid off everybody still. And a coworker connected me with somebody else. Referrals are everything, y'all, like seriously. And she was like, oh, you know, like, somebody I know is looking for an assistant for a director. It's for this like TV show that's about to come out. And I was like, okay. And in my head, I'm like, damn, an assistant. Like I was a creative producer. Like I was a manager working my way up.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I never experienced it before. Mm-hmm. So I was like, fuck it. Like I'll apply. And, I ended up getting it. So I was Chris Robinson's assistant and he's like a music video, like hip hop, like legend. Like he did ATL. Yeah, you can look him up. Yeah, he's done like a bunch of films and music. He did the Beautiful music video with Pharrell and Snoop Dogg. Like he's been around for a long, long time.
He out here.
So yeah, so I worked with him on Wu-Tang American Saga, TV show that's on Hulu. And then after that, I got another production, like a producer writer role at BET, and that's kind of like how I landed there. But honestly, it was It was not pre-planned. Mm-hmm. I did not see it like before college or even during college. I kind of just kept an open mind mm-hmm. and realized like I liked certain things mm-hmm. and being like flexible mm-hmm. to like essentially what's going on in like the community or the culture, and just wanting to be a contributor in any way. So that's kind of like how I landed where I am now.
Well, I think awesome. I would like be looking at myself like, damn, I did all that.
Yeah. I'm sitting there like, wait, you said you were 30? Lord of mercy.
I know. I've been busy.
I know. Like, that is so.
That's a, yes. But it's like, you never stop. Like, it was just like, let's go. Let me get more. Let me get, it was like, you were hungry mm-hmm. for it. So it was like, that's amazing.
Now, this is like more of a question for the question I just asked you. Anywhere along this path, because I feel like the media industry doesn't have its set mm-hmm. path. Did you have like mentors, or were you just like always hungry and chasing things for you to get there? Like more of the mm-hmm. learning process.
For sure. I never had like one set mentor. I had I try to keep my circle of friends either with people who I essentially like also admired, or like they were at jobs that like either I wanted or like in the same field mm-hmm. as me and stuff like that. And it wasn't like mm-hmm. I sought them out because of that, but it just so happened that like I surrounded myself with people yeah. like that. And mm-hmm. also just building relationships within my workplace and like not being shy about like telling people what I'm interested in. So like when I was my first job in the city about events or doing events, I became very close with my boss. Like we're still mm-hmm. friends to this day. And he kind of taught me the mm-hmm. ins and outs of like selling events and like working and like little tricks like covering your ass and stuff like that. So like he in the sense like mm-hmm. taught me like a lot of basics and a lot of like things that you're not going to learn in school, and you're only going to learn on the job. Right. And so like, I think being mm-hmm. open-minded in the sense of like, happy to build relationships at work with genuine people, but like being smart about it, like not just like your friend that is like, you know, sits two seats over and like just chatting and gossiping, like being like strategic yeah. about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would say the last 5 years, all of the jobs that I've gotten have been referral based. I haven't you know, like when I'm looking for other jobs and I'm applying and stuff, sure, like you apply for jobs, whatever, but like, you know, like the pool is mm-hmm. it's weird. Like you don't know that your resume is going to be seen because there's so many applicants, and it's like mm-hmm. for the sure. most part mm-hmm. some of these people are posting these positions and they already know who they want to hire, but it's like by law they have to post a position mm-hmm. for X amount of days to make it look like it was mm-hmm. a fair shot, right? So like I try to keep my relationships like super just like genuine and open. So I haven't been able to have like one mm-hmm. mentor, but I've had some like really good friends. Like one of my really good friends is a little bit older than me, and he has been like mm-hmm. the closest thing to a mentor to me. But I have always like felt mm-hmm. like, oh, I need a mentor, but I've gone pretty far without one. So I would say, yeah, that's pretty much my experience.
It's like in surrounding yourself with the people. Like with the people that you where you want to be,
yeah.
kind of thing, and then from that mm-hmm. taking that and moving on. That's mm-hmm. that's great.
I was
like what you guys watching? Are doing.
True.
Yeah, because it's like, you know yeah. what I'm saying, you could have been like, oh my god, like I want to be on like iHeartRadio so bad, and like you're trying to like reach out to like, hopefully not, but Angela Yee, like super hard and you're just like, oh, like I want to like reach out to this person, whoever it is, and mm-hmm. and they either like dead you, or they like make you some like assistant at where you are not making any money and you can't even like support sure. yourself, and then like you're doing all of their work and you're not getting any credit or like visibility from it, and you're not mm-hmm. necessarily like gaining anything except for quote unquote experience mm-hmm. Instead of finding a friend or a family member mm-hmm. that is interested in the same thing and just doing it, you know what I mean? And just like essentially failing up. Because yeah. the people at the top, they're just figuring it out too. They don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah, I found out that adulthood is like,
it's almost
it's
like
a fallacy. yeah. It doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Everyone, yeah. every time I ask them, they're like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But you're 50.
Listen,
sir, you are 100 years old.
100 year olds are like, yeah, I don't know, man.
I just got here.
It out.
Somehow it all got done.
Yeah.
Now, when you were in college, did you study all of this, like, realm, or What was your major? Yeah.
I majored in business management, which is super like broad. Generic. Yeah. So there, I had like certain things. I took classes. I tried to take classes that I was interested in. So I did take classes in hospitality. I made a mistake in, because I didn't really know what I wanted, I didn't have the luxury of like choosing a program based on what I wanted. Mm-hmm. So I kind of did something broad and try to like narrow it down as I got. And then by the time I realized like, oh, hospitality is dope. Mm-hmm. They didn't really have the program I was looking for. Okay. And they didn't have any internships that were going to help me. So I, that's why I also was like working through college, but it ended up working out because, you know, serving and bartending through college was what I like the experience, hands-on experience that I needed. That like led me to be able to get that event job that I got with like not really much experience.
But where would you say that your love for music came from?
Yeah, and it's Favrage.
Yeah.
All over the world. I was like following you on. So she's in Africa now.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh man, I love Kenya, and I got a lot of places to visit in Africa, but Kenya was beautiful. It was so beautiful. And Tanzania I got to go to too, which was like just like a hop away. But super beautiful, and like, man, like it's just like unreal. I can't even really put it into words. But I hope to go back very soon, especially like the safari. A lot of people do West Africa, South Africa, all that, the like hubs and stuff, maybe even Ghana, but like East Africa is another type of vibe, and it's like the best safari in the world. So and it's not even just like white people like doing safari, it's like tribes in there that still like, you know, have the land, they still own the land, and they're like taking care of this space and allowing people to come to and experience it. So
I forgot it too.
Sorry, totally.
Okay. What's the question?
I was asking like where did she find her love for music?
She found it in Africa.
Africa was an extent of my love for music, but my love for music started when I was a baby. I don't know if you guys remember, my dad is a musician.
Yeah.
And then my mom also was a dancer. So that is like in my blood veins. I have a cousin that's a DJ. Your dad is a DJ. Yeah, like I've been around DJs, like for my entire life. My dad built a studio in our house in the basement so he could work from there.
I remember that.
To just sit there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I used to just sit there and watch him work. And I used to dance also, so like it's just and play several instruments, so it's just like
do you still play them?
Blood. No, I mean, I don't even own any instruments. I think I saw a piano the other day. I was at somebody's house, and I was like, "Oh, do I remember Furleys?" Oh, like chopsticks.
I think you taught me that when I was a kid.
Oh really? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, probably. That's like the only two songs I know. Marjorie taught me Furleys and then Chopsticks.
I don't know Chopsticks. Which one's Chopsticks?
Yeah.
Oh, yes,
I do
know that one.
I like
one of the first ones I learned.
Now, how did I know you said that you started Fab Rock after you worked in hospitality for a while, but what started you wanting to create it as a brand?
That's a good question. I think. Yeah, because I definitely did Fab Rock Presents when I started to throw events. That's a great question. I honestly don't remember what made me. I don't even think I knew that I was like creating a brand. I just like needed a title to like title things. And I also had this like conscious mind of like, I want people to know that I did this. So I just titled it like Fab Rock Presents. I know now everything is like, you have to have this brand package together. Like you have to have like the aesthetic already done. I don't think I didn't think about any of that. I think I was just like, okay, I want my name on this and I don't want it. I want it to be like, not necessarily catchy, but like, you know, something cute. And I knew I needed like a business card because, especially like in New York and networking, like I've always found it way easier to hand out a business card versus like exchanging numbers on phones because we'll take each other's number and then I will forget your name.
I don't know who you are.
I find your name. I don't remember who.
You look at it like, I think I met someone.
Yeah, and I'm the worst at remembering people's names. Like, seriously, it takes me like a good three conversations to remember.
Yeah.
So like business cards, and then you find business cards too, like in your purse and like in your pocket. Exactly. And stuff.
And so when you do that one clean out every couple days, and you're like, oh, I did talk to somebody.
Right. I'm like, yes. I'm gonna save this. Never, but yeah. So I know I needed like those tools. So I think that's what made me just like pick a name. And then like people have called me Fab my whole life. And then, you know, people like have also been like, oh, Fab Rock, like you have a cool name. And I'm like, they're always like, oh, where'd you get that from? I'm like, it's on my birthday. It's my name. It's definitely been a little like easier for me versus like thinking of like this, like, you know, like secret society, like situation.
Yes. Now do you think that because you're interested in music, did it influence your career choices?
Yeah, I think so. I think, back in the day, I think I had wanted to work for like a label like really badly, and I applied a million times. I actually applied a million times to Viacom too. And I just knew I wanted to incorporate it in some way, and I was able to with events and stuff. I think the deeper I got into, because I have a lot of friends that work for labels, the deeper I got into the politics and really learning what working at a label entailed, the happier I am now that I never worked at one, because it's just like, it's a lot. It's a lot. That's like a whole nother podcast.
I feel like the grunt work though.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a lot. Is it what?
The
yeah,
that's
a whole another, yeah.
Like, to get up there, that the must take hazing years.
Alone. I mean, thankfully, I've never, like, done an internship, but I know so many people have done internships and for free.
For free?
Yeah, it's illegal to do it now.
Well, I've done a free internship.
Did you get it for credits?
No. I was a slave. I got it for nothing but learning.
I used to get it for credit. Learning is good. Okay.
But yeah, so you wouldn't do music label industry now, or you'd be open to it possibly.
Depends. I think I would consult, but I'm very like conscious about the type of music that is put out, especially in hip hop world, and where the dollars are actually going to back certain artists and certain content. And it's all part of like, you know, the systematic racism ploy. And like, why is it that I was talking to my friend earlier, and it's like, before it was like drug dealers were like kind of like normalized or like put on this pedestal, and now it's drug users that are put on this like pedestal and like glamorized. And it's just like, it's because the labels are pushing the money towards the music that sounds like this, and they're like, make sure you say, you know, bitch a million times on your record, make sure you say the n-word a million times on your record, and like these are requirements that they're telling artists to do in their music just so that they could put the dollars behind
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's insane, like the politics. Yeah, because these white people be pushing, like, are behind all these labels. So the only way I would actually do like music would be like, well, two ways. One, if I could do music programming for like a SiriusXM for like a radio station, because there's no R&B station on SiriusXM, which is like internet radio that's on all of them. There's none. It's all hip-hop and urban. Everything is mixed together, and all the hip-hop things are like Northeast music only. So there's like and then I really like
I'm tired.
And this isn't label based, but I really like scoring, so, or like music programming in TV or like film. So like people who do the music on Insecure or like 20s and stuff, I want to be that motherfucker.
whoever does that
for Insecure,
they cultivate the best playlist I've ever seen in my life. I just finished Insecure, by the way, so she's behind, so we can't talk about it.
Welcome.
But
I'm catching
I was watching it with her, and she's taking too long, so I had left her behind. But I will watch it with you again. Oh, wow. I'll watch it with you again.
Right? Her?
What's her
Aquarius? Aquarius.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, she'll yeah, you. She's like, oh, you, oh, okay, bye.
Rude.
No, but every season, I think I listen to all of the soundtracks.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Every single season. Yeah. I absolutely, that's what so makes good. Me like watching the show sometimes, the music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a whole nother component of why that show is so good. And
yes.
Yeah. I would love to be like the person to do that on a show or a film.
And you know, music. So.
Exactly.
Just keep keep it coming with the hits.
I'll be there. They
accept I'll be you like, for yeah. the position.
Right, exactly.
Oh, now, as you know, we're Haitian, Soul Nation. I think for me, it's always been that it's either medicine that you go into or accounting. Mm-hmm. Whenever like they see you, it's doctor, like,
lawyer,
accounting. So like, did you ever feel some hesitation when you were entering the workforce, when you wanted to go into media, more so hospitality, like any hesitation or in your upbringing slightly different because your dad was a musician, but you did feel it?
Well, the thing is that like my brother wanted to be an actor at some point. Mm-hmm. My mom was like, no. So like, even though my dad was in like entertainment and media, my mom more so was like very against us taking careers in that path.
Really? Okay.
So yeah. Uh-huh. So like the business management came from her.
Okay.
She was like, do business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. So the thing with Haitian parents is like, well, let's say you do something that they didn't like necessarily like map out for you.
Mm-hmm.
They start backing you once you start making money.
Yes. Okay. And then you want you have to make money. Them see it.
Yes. Exactly. They want proof.
Yes.
Receipts.
Right. So I like, because I've always like for the most part kept a job while I've also done like the DJing or something else.
Mm-hmm.
And also because like I'm very independent. So like I don't be asking my mom for anything. I moved out. I never went back home after college. So she hasn't necessarily had to worry about me or like keep tabs on me. And I'll just tell her like, oh yeah, I'm doing this. And she'd be like, oh yeah. And like, I remember one time, cause she's nosy. So she's always like, oh yeah, how much are you making? And I'm like, it's not your business. No. But I remember I told her one time and she was like, oh my God. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's not only that they're just haters, but it's just that they don't know.
They don't. I feel like someone sat down Haitians and told them like the only jobs that make money is doctor, lawyer,
nurse. And don't forget nurse.
Oh, sprinkle that in nurse.
And those are great careers.
About it,
yeah.
It's true. I mean, like coming from, especially all of our parents live in Haiti. They're born there.
Yes.
So they came here. They're looking at the top. Like who making the most money? Doctors, lawyers, accounting. I bet we're going to do that.
Yep.
So I kind of understand, but it is frustrating when you have other visions that may not be that lucrative or like a different journey and you don't have their support. So that is like tough.
100%. I knew when I went to college originally, I went for science. I was a chem bio major.
Mm-hmm.
By a year, I didn't like it. By the semester afterwards, I was repulsed by science.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would go into class and like my blood is boiling. I don't know why I'm there. And it was serious. I couldn't stand it anymore. And a part of like when I would tell my parents that I'm not feeling this.
Mm-hmm.
There's something else that I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm.
A part of me felt like I was giving up. And then the second one was they were like, so then what are you going to do? And I said, I really didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know yet. I was interested in economics. It wasn't that, but I was interested in economics. And then like later down the line, I was very interested in doing marketing. And they're like, okay, but what's the plan? That's like the thing.
Yeah.
They won't discourage me, but they'll make me feel like, are you sure you should be doing that? Because you don't even know what you want to do with it.
True.
And it was hard to explain, like when I had to do that internship for free
They're like, for free.
For free. Like, their minds were blown. You're like, you're doing what? You barely want to wash dishes for free.
You could go to McDonald's and make money.
Yes, pretty much. Yeah. And it's like, you know, now I know that I like marketing. That's what I want to go into.
Yep.
But they, I guess I'll have to wait to show them now.
Yeah, that's it. That's,
But they don't bother me about it as much.
That's good, though.
They just see me doing things. They're like, okay.
Okay, cool.
She's not sleeping all day. And that's what they're okay with.
You know what?
It could be worse.
That is very
mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's like marketing wasn't a thing like when they were coming up like that. You know,
yeah.
Marketing is so new now. Like social media is a whole new role. Like, people don't understand that. And so like I get it. But it is definitely difficult because you do feel like you're failing and it's not even like your happiness is at the forefront. It's more about like the success or you know, being taken care of. So finding that balance in between it. But I'm glad that you're still trying to figure it out.
I'm going for it too. As much as I can. At one of our other podcasts, we were talking about adults don't dream. And I was just like, no, why do we have, as adults, do we have to let go of our dreams instead of making dreams reality for us? And that was like, that's kind of just been my mind. I was like, if I want this to be mine, I have to make it a reality. Whatever the reality is of that dream, I will take it. Because at least I know I live this. So.
Yeah. And when you live abundantly, like most of the time, it's just waiting for you to like take that step into it. And that's what I've found like in my own journey. Like anytime I've held myself back is because I've held myself back. And 100%. Then as soon as I like, okay, let me go for it, this shit works out. Like, and if it doesn't, something else has come from it. Like I've been laid off maybe 3 or 4 times. And every time I've been laid off, like something magical or beautiful has come from it. Like
everything happens for a reason.
That is
everything happens for a reason.
Out of your beautiful journey, what do you think were some struggle for you when you face moving into each phase of your career?
Yeah, for sure. I think more than recently, I've felt, especially because I've switched careers essentially. So moving in from hospitality to, you know, actually, I'll speak to two things. So when I was in hospitality towards the end, while the job isn't necessarily like boring at all, I felt like I was so good at it that it bored me. Like there was no, even on a very hectic day, like the worst event of all time, like a stressful day, whatever, like I still wasn't feeling like I was growing as a person.
Exactly.
So that was challenging for me to feel like I was stuck in a way. So like my thing is like, I'm a control freak. I'm a recovering control
freak. That's the Virgo coming out. It's okay.
So, exactly. Lord. And I'm a rising Aries.
It's been hit at all angles.
I know. Right? So, with that, I have to like, the difficulties have been like, in like just releasing control and also like not trying to be like this like perfect in everything I do. And then the second part is in stepping out and like taking a chance and starting something new or whatever. Imposter syndrome has like come up a few times. I don't think so anymore because I'm like aware of it, but in the beginning it was like, damn, like I got this writer producer job and I didn't go to school for film or production.
That's not allowed.
It's okay.
I knew that was going to happen.
But yeah, I didn't go to school for production or anything. And I know people that have and that would like kill to be in this role. And like just kind of quieting that voice and like knowing that I'm in this role because I'm supposed to be in this role and it's for me. And I can do just a great job or even better. And it doesn't matter that I don't have this like textbook cookie cutter like journey behind it, and that there's also like enough for everybody to eat, like just because I didn't take a role from someone, I didn't take a project from someone, like there's enough creativity to go around, and like not getting stuck on like paying attention to like what other people are doing. Or something else I really realized when I started DJing is that your supporters are not going to come from like the people that you expect, like your like close family or friends, bless you. Your close family or friends like aren't necessarily going to be your biggest supporters. And it might be like some random person that just comes across your stuff on the internet, and like, that's okay. Like, not like essentially like looking for these people to be like your support system. They might not have the capacity or like whatever the case is, and just like acknowledging the positive part of the who is supporting you and like who is like receiving your work or like who is just there for you versus like focusing on the negative of who isn't there. And that's kind of something that I still struggle with a little bit, but it is something that like I have to remind myself of constantly.
I agree. I have to say, like, I've definitely done that to myself, the imposter syndrome thing. Like, I definitely done that with myself, because like, especially with my makeup stuff, because I'm always like, they want me. Like, why do they want me? Like, I'm not a licensed makeup artist. I'm not this. I taught myself. I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, really? Are you sure? I do it every single time. And yeah, that is definitely something I have to work on. Like, it's so bad. And it can actually hold you back from doing something that you were meant to do, because you got this because you did it. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's...
Yeah,
that's
for sure.
I needed to hear that.
I would say talent versus hard work. Hard work is going to win over talent. And if you have the talent and you see somebody that has maybe less talent than you but is working harder, they're going to surpass you. So if you have a talent, you just got to make sure that you're working for it and you're not self-sabotaging in the process.
Yeah, she kills me every single time because I'd set up her appointments and she's like, but I'm not that good. Yeah, they paid you for what you do already.
Have you seen Love and Hip Hop? Please.
She has a good point.
I'm sure, like, people are out here making bags with my eyebrows would have been like this. The blend into the unibrow.
That look. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, exactly. Is that a look?
It is. A lot of people do that.
I thought that was a mistake.
No, it's actually like, because some people, what they do is like draw it.
People do that on purpose.
Yes, they do it across so that it's even. Mm-hmm. Then they try and cover it with concealer in the middle, but they don't do it enough or they don't blend it out enough.
They do it across.
To make them even so that they're in the same
what
area.
What kind of stencil art? I can't believe it.
Yeah, but then
I can't believe it.
No, they're just not supposed to be twins. They're supposed to be cousins. Like, it's okay. The natural eyebrow doesn't like, even like do that. Come on.
Right, like our boobs.
Thank
like,
you. They one up here, just, one down there, one across. Like, it's fine.
Hello.
Oh my goodness.
Couldn't believe that was a thing. I was like, man.
Unfortunately.
Anyways. 100%. Now, I don't think you would have an answer to this question, but I guess it's a fair question to ask. Do you have any regrets throughout your journey?
No. I don't want to be like cliche, but I try not to have any regrets.
Yeah,
I think everything panned out exactly how it was supposed to. And any like mistakes I made, like, they were lessons, and I was able to like, I was presented with another opportunity where I could have made the same mistake and I didn't. Or sometimes I did, like, you know what I mean? But like, I don't think I have any regrets, and I just try to be conscious with like any decisions I make. I make sure that like I'd be like proud of myself in the future. You know what I mean? And just have like people around me in mind when I do it, but mostly especially myself, and just make sure like things are done like super intentful moving forward, and that are just like putting me in a good space like mental health wise.
That's good.
I feel you. So what do you think is the next move for you?
Well, technically the next move was death. that was the next move. Honestly, I'm trying to, like, right now my focus is, especially with, like, pandemic and everything happening, it really just, like, I was already on this, like, okay, I need to, like, fix, I need to adjust my life. Like, in New York, it's very easy to get caught up in the rat race and get caught up in the like hustle and bustle, like marketing spiel that they give to you. But like at the end of the day, things have to make sense. And like, because I'm in my 30s now, like my 20s, like were a really good time to just like figure shit out and like trial and error and like, let me try this. And if it doesn't work, no, it doesn't matter. We'll try something else. You know what I mean? Like with, of course, staying safe. But now, like me being my 30s, I do want to move way more intentional, and I want to do it with like me as the focus versus like trying to measure up to someone else or like pouring myself into somebody else's dream. Things like that. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Now I forgot.
Now I was asking what your next move was.
Yeah,
no, you answered it.
Yeah, next move. Yes. So that has been my next move, to make sure like my quality of life is on point, and like also, and that kind of like allow is making or forcing me to step into my power, in the sense of like I know like I'm valuable at my job, and if they want to keep me, they're gonna like, we're gonna have to do this work remote type of vibe, you know what I mean, like when things like open back up, and knowing that I have the leverage to ask for that, and if it doesn't work, then I'll find something else, and not like being so stressed about like, oh my god, a job, and like, oh my god, this, and like knowing that like I'm talented and that I'll just figure it out, and I have resources, and like tapping into my resources and not being scared to ask for things from other people, you know what I mean? So like, and reaching out to people that like, you know, for whether it's like an opportunity or just like to chat, and like just harvesting relationships. And so, yeah. So just like setting myself up for like the long-term win versus like chasing a job title or chasing like a specific check or a specific project.
I like that
too.
That is so cool. I can't wait to be there. Where I'm just like,
I totally get what you're saying, because I am like, I'm on my last year of my 20s, so like I'm entering into 30s next year. So it's like, I really do need to start thinking about like what's making me happy, like what moves am I going to make. Like I did start making those moves because I was just like, you know what, I think it's just time for me to do what I'm passionate about. COVID has kind of stopped these things. It's
okay, because I'm sure it's like giving you insight to other things.
It's very true.
And that's important too.
Very true. I mean, this podcast is one of them.
Yeah.
And I started doing nails. Yeah, like, where? I would have never known to do that if it wasn't for quarantine.
You can, I mean, if you wanted to do nails and make and that be your career, you could do that. You could do editorial. They make a lot of money. You get an agent. You can travel the world doing people's nails.
Yeah, like, very true. That's, and then on top of that, with makeup, like, I'm a full package in a sense. Like,
yeah, you would be on the shoots doing people's nails. And most of those shoots, they want one color. They don't even want design or anything. You know what I'm saying? So, like, but yeah, like, don't limit yourself. And also just try shit out. And it doesn't matter whether you're in your 20s or your 30s. Like, people that are in their 50s are like, you know what? I want to start a bakering company. And they flourish. And it's like, they wanted to the last 20 years of their lives. And they either poured themselves into their family and put themselves like on the back end. And it's just like, you got to live, because none of this shit is promised at all.
That is true.
That is very true.
You can't take advantage. And I think that was the biggest thing that I felt like I experienced because of quarantine, is like, it made me want to be more intentional with what I do with my time. You know, people are dropping left and right around me. You know, I was furloughed, and it's like, you know, you can't.
You have all this time.
You have all this time that.
And it's so crazy to me, because for the longest time, because I work full time, and I'm not even 9 to 5. I'm like 8 to 6,000 hours later. Like, listen. So it's like, I'm always like, there's not enough time. And then everything just stopped. And I was just like, I don't even know how to handle this. Like, what? I loved it.
After a week.
I love it.
After a week and a half.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh.
This is weird.
We can drink.
There's an adjustment period.
Yes.
We can drink at 2 p.m. We can start a podcast. Like, I was just doing the most.
We did.
But I'm happy I did.
The world is your oyster.
Mm-hmm. We were just like, let's do something.
Ultimately, I just want, I want to be able to do what I enjoy and travel.
Yeah.
Like, hands down.
Yeah. And we should all be able to have that. And honestly, this is also exposing that we're at work way too long of days. We do not have to be there. Do you know how many hours I put into work a day compared to how long I'm supposed to be in the office? Yeah. Like, most of these things, most of these meetings can be emails. Most of, like, you know what I mean? The work culture has to change across the board. And people's lives need to be put at the forefront. They need to be way more important than this bullshit that we've been doing. The jig is up.
You know what? You're making a good point, because to me, I feel like quarantine and everything, yes, it's been horrible because, you know, the whole virus thing and everything like that, and people dropping and stuff like that. But, like, I think it's given people, like, even the busiest people, because I work with 5 doctors. One of them is a female, and she's like, this is the most amount of time that I've ever spent with my kids. Like, that's saying something. You know what I mean? And she's still doing what she loves. And I mean, it was driving her crazy, but she's a control freak. But still, like, she, even now, she's still able to be like, all right, I'm done. I'm going home to my children. I'm doing this. So it's like, I think it's giving people a different insight on, like, again, as you said, like, how much time they're putting into work and how much time that's not necessary for it. How much their family actually missed them and togetherness and things like that. So it's like,
And the things that matter.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Being with certain friends, cousins, like, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter, whoever's important to you, you know?
Very true.
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, these jobs and these companies, like, if something happens to you, they're going to replace you like that.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Don't think the loyalty lies between my friends.
No.
Now, I have a question for you, which we typically have every guest asks our audience. You ask them a question, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you want people to ask themselves concerning the topic that we discussed today?
I would say, what is holding you back from doing the top 3 things on your to-do list that you've put off? Specifically speaking to the people that, like, oh, I want to start a podcast. Oh, I want to, you know, clean out my closet. Those to-do things that have been there since February, March, and are still there. Like, why would that be holding you back? So I personally don't have anything like that right now. Yeah, think about it. I've had a productive last couple of weeks. So, but I'm sure in a few weeks I'll be there again. But I try to keep it like maybe one thing that I'm like long term to do.
All right. Well, I am very happy to have invited you on our podcast. Yes. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you. I was so happy. You guys emailed me so formally. I was like, these are my cousins, but okay.
I was like, I
only know one Demora and Danielle. So, but I was very happy y'all reached out.
Of course.
Oh, y'all grown now. That's cute.
I know. It's crazy.
I know. I can't believe I can say I'm 23 and in 2 years I'll be 25. That's too much.
Yeah, I'm way beyond
Enjoy.
I know.
Yes.
We're supposed to be getting older. Our prime is going to be like in our 50s when we have good money. Like, that's the thing.
Yo,
so I'm excited for this.
We'll have our yacht party. Each of us will have our own yacht. We'll be chilling.
You know what I'm saying?
Dream big.
Bora Bora. That's where I see
Okay. All right, Bora. Let's
do it.
But as always, guys, if you want to keep up on the next episode, subscribe, follow.
Woo.
I don't know what I'm going to put up there, but something up there.
Up here. And click down below.
And you'll keep up with us on Instagram and Twitter at @TWithDoubleDPod.
Yes.
But listen to us next time.
Okay.